Welcome to the UN Brief. Today we interview French Red Cross, how they are managing the refugees influx in 2022. Thank you for watching the UN Brief, and don't forget to subscribe.
We have two big activities at the Red Cross, volunteer activities, an activity with a lot of employees. We've got 17,000 employees at the Red Cross, French Red Cross, including creche, I don't know how to say in English, but also things for older people, but also, and also hospital. So we have a global activity of both, both volunteer activities and activities with employee for more professional activity.
I see. And of course, the volunteers is a great part of your efforts in outreach as well, because you depend on them to actually deliver services, right?
Yeah, we've got 60,000 volunteers at the French
Red Cross. Wow, 60,000.
60,000. It's a huge resources for us. And our objective is to help them to make the best of themselves, to help people in different fields, including all the things before, during, and after all crises.
So, but how do you see technologies, impacting the everyday work? Like, do you have examples of how this happens? Like, do you use new technologies such as drones, for instance, or mobile phones? Are these technologies impacting the way you deliver services? Mm-hmm. Do you use it more, or is there a conscious effort of using certain technologies, or do you find it not necessarily? You're just using, as you know, everybody needs a cell phone nowadays, for instance, right? So you can't do much work without a cell phone, for instance, or access to the internet.
Absolutely. Well, we're trying to develop new solutions so that we can welcome and accompany people both physically when they open the door of our local places of the French Red Cross, but also through the phone or through the internet. And so we've developed solutions, especially during the Ukraine crisis. We developed a solution that's called Croix Rouge Bonjour, hello, so that people can actually online say what they need, people who needed to be accompanied either to have access to food, to have access to support for administrative work, or to have support for French lessons, or to generally to be accompanied in their arrival in France and in transit. So a digital solution so that they could have this link with the Red Cross, even though they couldn't, for example, meet someone directly, or they could be accompanied by someone else, a volunteer who wants to build this link with the French Red Cross, and so that we could actually identify these people and link them with the people that locally and physically could take over and accompany them.
So that's something that upon arrival at the train stations, you'd actually go and tell them that they could use that application, and right away they would be able to connect with the Red Cross, French Red Cross network of volunteers that could actually help them on the ground to do things, or to find a school, or to learn a language, or find a job. Oh, that's excellent. You did this just now, you already had the solution. Was just now for the Ukraine crisis?
It was developed during the Ukraine crisis, so that when we identified this need to build this connection, this distant connection through an online application. And what was existing before and was developed during the COVID crisis was a solution to identify people who were isolated and couldn't go out to shop or to take their medicine at the pharmacy or such things, so that they could actually identify themselves, and local Red Cross volunteers could go and shop for them and bring them the essential supplies they needed. So that was developed during the COVID crisis. And then during the Ukraine crisis was developed the app that actually allows us to identify people and connect them with the local solutions. Mm-hmm. But to it allows us to reach a wider range of people who would need to be accompanied.
We have got seven principles of the French Red Cross. And one of them is the principle of impartiality. And that's one of the ways to start with inclusion. We make no distinction with our beneficiary of nationality, race, religion, social condition, political affiliation. Mm-hmm. That's one of that's why the only things for us is to help unconditionally individuals. And that's maybe one of the first things what you can say about inclusion in our activities.
And then if we go further, because you're right, this inclusion program is not only about this unconditionality principle. It is also about how you include people within the society in mm-hmm. general. And so it means how we develop social link. Christophe was talking about it earlier. Mm-hmm. That's about how we make sure that in the Red Cross places, you find a nice welcome, people that are available to listen to you and to develop these social links that can actually be a very important issue for isolated people. That's very important. And maybe when we talk about technologies, about this aspect, it's also important to underline that the Red Cross also has a phone service, so that people who are in a moment of crisis and of psychological crisis can call someone who is trained to listen to people in a moment of psychological crisis, so that these people can find a comforting ear and people who can listen to their difficulties and help them to overcome these difficulties and go to the next step in their lives. We also develop programs that are aimed at social inclusion through developing access to necessary items, food, clothing, shelter, generally. And we also work on how we can better connect people to social inclusion and employment inclusion, notably with the help of volunteers that help them in their administrative work, so that they can also be connected to the state and, for example, some subsidies, resources when they actually need them. Also,
in the case of the Ukrainian refugees now, so you've been heavily involved, I imagine. Is that the bulk of your work right now, is to support the refugees that are being received in France?
We have to be mobilized, of course, for Ukrainian refugees, but we also have all the other people that usually come to the Red Cross for help that we need to attend to. So we are trying to do both at the same time. In France, we have mostly Ukrainian people who are there momentarily. Not all of them want to stay in France. Many of them are in transit. So we need to help them out during this moment. And also think ahead of what can happen depending on how long the conflict will last, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to cope with this crisis and help them as much as we can in parallel to all of our other missions. And I think that's one of the challenges, is also to predict the impact of the Ukrainian crisis more globally on the precarity, on the unemployment, on the problem of prices that are going up in many regions of the world as to food supplies, et cetera, et cetera. So we predict that social needs in France are going to increase. And so we also need to adapt our capacities.
Because they cannot, given their status, they cannot benefit from the social protection system that you have in place, like going to social security, or I don't know how you call it in France, but you have a social...
They can, thanks to the status that the European Commission gave to Ukrainian refugees in Europe, they can benefit from some of the social protection benefits in France. They can also work in France, which is also an important aspect of social inclusion. And so these are also the different aspects we are working on currently, is to... not only help people that are in a moment of crisis, but are going to another country, for example, or foresee that they're going to go back to Ukraine at a certain point, but also try to anticipate the needs of the people that are actually going to stay in France and help them to build the connections socially, in terms of employment, so that they can actually, live an okay life after this moment of crisis.
Thank you for watching the UN Brief and listening to the UN Brief. And don't forget to subscribe.